is not common to write a dating profile for your spouse, the one to whom you have been happily married for many years. Last month, Amy Krauss Rosenthal published this as an essay in the New York Times. It was part memoir and part deeply appreciative dating profile for her husband of 26 years. It took my breath away. "I have never been on Tinder or Bumble or eHarmony," she wrote, "but I'm going to create a general profile for Jason right here." Amy goes on to share a wide range of his delightful attributes. He is uncannily handy. He has a flair for fabulous socks. Jason is compassionate, and he can flip a pancake. Wait, did I mention that he is incredibly handsome? I'm going to miss looking at that face of his. Though her good humor might throw us for a loop, Amy writes this with a terminal diagnosis of ovarian cancer. She is celebrating her husband precisely because she knows that her time with him is coming to a close. The scene on the outskirts of the city is also jovial, maybe surprisingly so to us who know how the story ends. Many people in these crowds have been following Jesus for some time. They've seen the amazing things he's done. They've puzzled over the wonderful things he's taught. Most of them peasants, some have come from far away. They think they are ready to follow. To the extent that they know that Jesus is the long-awaited Messiah, they are thrilled. They desperately want to be done with Roman rule. Though his ways don't quite match the powerful political Messiah many of them imagined, they remain hopeful. Maybe they don't know how he will save them, but they still trust that he will. "I mean, did you hear what he has done?" they ask, swapping stories through the crowd. "The healing, the casting out of demons? Twice recently he fed these massive crowds with just a few loaves and fish." And so they celebrate. "Hosanna, Hosanna," they sing. It's a festive word, a shout of praise. And it also means save us. But not with a sense of desperation, but rather of hopeful trust. "Hosanna, this is the King who will save us. Hosanna." We put our trust in him, the Son of David, the one foretold. It is a makeshift parade. There is nothing fancy here. They throw their ragged coats down over the dusty road. It's the best they have to honor him. They break off branches, holding them high, waving them as a joyful spectacle. And Jesus comes, directing this already comical parade further towards absurdity. Get the donkey and the colt," he tells them. And puzzled but obedient, they somehow bring these animals together with a cloak as a saddle, and he rides them, both. Can we stop and imagine this for a second? We've got a jumpy colt and a stubborn antisocial donkey. And yoked together, they carry the Messiah into the holy city. Jesus knows that he is fulfilling prophecy, but it's more than that. It is a ridiculous sight. Marcus Borg writes that Jesus enters Jerusalem around the same time as another parade, one on the other side of the city. Pontius Pilate arrives from his coastal home in Caesarea,
And his parade is one of military pomp and grandeur, a parade that is majestic and threatening. He comes with the goal of keeping order in the city during the Passover. He rides in on a war horse surrounded by armored soldiers. They carry weapons, they wave fancy banners, they march to drums. It is an awesome sight, the very image of imperial power. And Jesus rides in, humble, on a donkey and a colt. "Here is true power," he says. "This is the son of the great King David, surrounded by banners made of broken branches, heralded by the joyful songs of peasants." And at that juxtaposition, the war horse and the humble, laughable colt and donkey, the empire and the peaceful Messiah, as these mix, turmoil builds in the city. The word translated here as turmoil, sayo, it literally means to tremble, to shake, as in seismic. Something big is happening. The earth trembles with the joyful arrival of this unconventional king. This past week, a friend sent me a photo from her church, signaling, apparently she thought I needed reminding, that this liminal time of Holy Week was close. It was a photo of a large cardboard box. And from a white background, a retro depiction of these almost neon green fanning palms leapt out. And then in white script it said, "Palms for Palm Sunday." Okay, great graphics. But then my eyes drifted to the top of the box, where in big red capital letters, it offered caution. Perishable. Perishable. Yes. These fresh-cut branches lining the parade route to Jerusalem, these towering palms in our midst, the ones we hold in our hands, still fresh and supple, like our joyful hosannas, they will not last. The jubilation fades soon, giving way to the corruption at the governor's headquarters and the terror at Golgotha. But surely, deep down, folks in the crowd knew this. Time and again, Jesus had warned them that his death is near, that returning to Jerusalem would bring his execution. And still, they sing. Is it foolhardy? Is it hopeful? And soon these palms will dry. They will crack and fold it into a cross and tucked into a mirror or on the side of your desk, they will gather dust. And next year we will gather outside and we will burn them into ashes. And we will start the pilgrimage again, tracing ashes of cross on our foreheads. This is fleeting. The party, the parade, the earthly feast, it will all perish. And yet still we are here, singing our hosannas, our praise, trusting this hope that this one saves. Still, we follow the trumpet waving our palms. We occupy an uncomfortable hinge in the narrative today, this place where we can take in the whole sweep of the story. Standing here, I see how on this day we pivot from the parade to the cross, from our song to the dust.
We hold them together. And my mind returns to Amy. I see in Amy's example what it is that we are trying to live here. I mean, it's bordering on ludicrous, writing a dating ad for your husband on your deathbed, except that it is so good and true and beautiful. She knows what lies ahead. Indeed, she begins her essay explaining the writing conditions. I have been trying to write this for a while, but the morphine and the lack of juicy cheeseburgers, what has it been now, 5 weeks without real food, have drained my energy and interfered with whatever prose prowess remains. But she is determined to remain, to leave this world as she lived in it. She understands acutely that this is all perishable. Still, I have to stick with it, she explains, because I'm facing a deadline, and in this case, a pressing one. Amy is clear that this is not what she wanted. Of course not. She wanted more time with her family, more adventures, just more. And instead of that, she recounts all manner of quirks and gifts of her husband, of their life together. She offers her thanks profusely. So why am I doing this? She ends. I'm wrapping this up on Valentine's Day, and the most genuine, non-vase-oriented gift I can hope for is that the right person reads this, finds Jason, and another love story begins. In her dying, she reaches for gratitude, for praise, for life that is as yet unfolding. I think this is where we need to sit for a while, friends. Right? Bombs are flying in our name, and hundreds of civilian lives taken in Mosul absolved as collateral damage. And here at home, in our union, an unprecedented 8 men in Arkansas anticipate execution in quick succession beginning on Easter Monday. I could go on. And still, even in the shadow of this death today, even as we enter into the shadow of the passion and the looming betrayal and anguish of Holy Week, even in our own perishable selves, this is our song. Hosanna, Hosanna! Singing that this humble king saves us. Singing that we place our trust and find our joy in him, bound together and parading forward. It is absurd, and it is true. The very earth trembles at the bold claim of such a king. This is who we are as followers of Jesus the Christ. We sing. We face what is real even as it breaks our hearts and indeed breaks the very earth wide open. We come to retrace these steps, to face the truth together. This is why we live Holy Week. Friends. We walk into it together to wash feet, to mourn, to repent, to wait. And through it all, we sing, Hosanna, save us. Even in the shadow of death, we will give thanks and praise, and we will sing.